I'm Jeff Booth, and this is The Big Picture here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Well, as we continue our plunge into an authoritarian form of government, we got to look ahead at our candidates. And tonight is another debate, and Bloomberg has made the debate. After essentially buying his way in using his unfathomable billions. I mean, really, is that where this country is going? Only billionaires can afford to become president? Or maybe you just have to claim to be a billionaire. But Bloomberg is the real deal. He is worth, I don't know, $68 billion? Anyway, basically, if he becomes the Democratic nominee, then we'll have two Republicans running against each other. Because Bloomberg is not a Democrat. He has been a long-time Republican who decided he needed to become a Democrat to win in New York. But except for going off the reservation on a couple of issues like climate change and gun control, which is great, but still pretty much Republican. Maybe more Nixon-era Republican? You know, back when the Republican Party actually cared about the environment? I really don't want Bloomberg to succeed, and I'll tell you why. Because we really don't need two racist, misogynistic, egotistical billionaires who have little respect for the concept of term limits. We don't need two of those guys. We've already got one of those guys. We don't need those two guys running against each other. And Bloomberg is using his billions to buy fans. He's buying people who will blog positive things about him. And of course, the media laps it up. But Bloomberg, not such a great guy. I mean, his stop and frisk was abominable. It was racist to its core, and it was intended to be racist to its core. But as much as I oppose racism, that's not our main topic. But Bloomberg scores pretty badly on some of the topics we do focus on this show, and let's start out with one of the more shocking that just came out today. In 2003, there were two bills that were strongly supported in New York City by the New York City Council and reproductive rights advocates. The bills would have expanded access to information about emergency contraception. That's really important no matter what side of the abortion divide you stand on, because obviously if people have emergency contraception available, it's going to decrease the likely need for an abortion. Of course, that doesn't matter to the scientifically illiterate anti-abortion crowd who think that contraception and abortion are kind of in the same category, and they want both of them gone. So here's this bill that pretty much everybody should support. It would require pharmacies in the city that don't sell emergency contraception to post a sign alerting customers or face a penalty of up to $500. And they only wouldn't sell it because they're owned or run by some kind of wackaloon religious anti-sex bigot. If you're looking for emergency contraception, you don't need to run all over the city trying to figure out who will sell it to you. The other bill, there's pretty modest bills. It mandated that emergency rooms in city-funded hospitals provide access to the morning-after pill to rape victims if they wanted it. That seems pretty damn reasonable. If hospitals refused, then the city just wouldn't contract with them. Much to everyone's surprise, Mayor Bloomberg vetoed both bills, and the city council overrode him. Of course, that was Republican Bloomberg. Now he's quote-unquote a Democrat, sort of. Mostly 80% Republican, maybe 20% Democrat. He supposedly supports abortion rights, but what the fuck? Even after the new laws were passed, specifically the one applying to hospital emergency rooms, they looked in 2004, after it was passed, and they still found that a fourth of the hospital emergency rooms continued to not provide survivors of rape or sexual assault the medication necessary to prevent pregnancy. And nearly a quarter of pharmacies were still not stocking the morning after pill either. That's just absolutely insane. We've got a shitload of work to do there to make that better. But it's all part of the very effective right-wing, primarily Christian, war on contraception, of which their battle against abortion is just a part. Well, the truth is that Bloomberg is not exactly the great champion of women, at least from the standpoint of really being someone who respects women, because we've got a lot of documentary evidence that shows kind of doesn't. In 1990, the people who worked for him put together a 48th birthday gag gift book that contained his sayings. Thanks to the internet, I could take a look at the actual book that uses actual quotes that his people collected. Here's one in the section on negotiations. And they're quoting him. All of these are quoting him. What do I want? I want an exclusive 10-year contract, an automatic extension, and I want you to pay me. And I want a blowjob from blank. Have you seen blank lately? Not bad for 50. In fact, I'm reading through these quotes now. I've got all of them here. Oh my God, this guy sounds so much like Trump, and not just on issues like women and his misogyny, but on his whole viewpoint about corruption and ethics. I'm reading through it looking for appropriate quotes, and oh my God, this guy is truly awful. He calls a competitor a cokehead womanizing fag. Okay, two of those seem to be contradictory, but I guess both go better with coke, I don't know. Here's what he says about computers. You know why computers will never take the place of people? Because a computer would say that the sex of the person giving you a blowjob doesn't matter. I guess here he's talking about Bloomberg data with this. He says, it will do everything including give you a blowjob. I guess that puts a lot of you girls out of business. Ouch. Man, except for the anti-Semitism, it seems like this, we already got this guy as president. And this is before we even get to the little section on women. Here's some more quotes. If women wanted to be appreciated for their brains, they'd go to the library instead of to Bloomingdale's. I only look. I just like to look. Well, that would be a step up from Trump. I know for a fact that any self-respecting woman who walks past a construction site, doesn't get a whistle, will turn around and walk past again and again until she does get one. How about this? Whenever my wife catches me eyeing some broad, she's very careful to turn to me and say, that's the most expensive piece of ass in the world. Wow, that sounds like a healthy relationship. There is plenty of misogyny riddled throughout this quaint little booklet. He's also quoted as saying, if you look like that, I'd do you in a second. And like Trump, he's got the same level of respect for the media. He said to a reporter in the 2000s, look at the ass on her, and to another reporter after pointing out a woman at a party, nice tits, which apparently is something he said a lot. Did I mention that Bloomberg and his organizations have been sued 40 times for sexual discrimination and sexual harassment? The people we should be listening to are the women who have worked for them. One of them is Sakiko Garrison. She says that when she told Michael Bloomberg that she was pregnant, he said, kill it. And then he went on to complain that she's going to be the 16th woman in the company taking maternity leave. He harassed her even before she became pregnant. When he saw her engagement ring, he said, what is the guy dumb and blind? What the hell is he marrying you for? A week later, he allegedly said, still engaged? What is he, that good in bed, or did your father pay him off to get rid of you? I'll admit that last one doesn't make a bit of sense. It does appear that he uses the phrase, I do her, on a number of occasions, but he has said that he thinks do means to have a personal relationship with someone. Yeah, it's very personal. It's your penis is in their vagina, or your penis in their ass, or even your penis in their mouth. All of those things can be pretty personal. Bloomberg did settle with Garrison out of court for an undisclosed sum, of course. Mary Ann Olszewski has come forward about the environment in the Bloomberg LP building. She says the women were routinely demoralized, and she says that she was in this environment of harassment and then raped in a hotel room by her direct superior, a top Bloomberg executive. And Michael Bloomberg, as I'm trying to make the point here, is no friend of women. He testified in a 1998 deposition relating to that case that he wouldn't call the rape allegation genuine unless there was an unimpeachable third-party witness. And as you know, when you rape somebody, you always bring a third-party witness to come in and watch. What a total asshole. The opposing counsel also thought that as well and asked him, well, describe for me your conception of how there could be a third-party witness to confirm or deny the truthfulness of her allegations. And Bloomberg responded, well, there are times when three people are together. Okay, that's true. We call those threesomes. They're very fun. But is he saying you have to rape two women at a time so that there's a witness? Or that there's two of you raping one woman and one of you is going to turn, maybe? In 2007, the EEOC filed a lawsuit against Bloomberg LP on behalf of 78 women who said that Bloomberg fostered, condoned, and perpetuated a hostile work environment for female employees. And we're out of time, and there's so much more. We'll see how he does on the debate tonight.